from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Leezy on in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/ESPN1320 if you want to hang out. Leezy in the YouTube chat said, Kings had DiVincenzo and didn't want to pay him or play him. I want to talk about Dante specifically for just a quick second.
Mm-hmm.
You had the backstory. You know everything that was kind of going on behind the scenes there.
Yeah.
And why it may or may not have worked out. I promise I don't say this from a place of being a fan of the Warriors. I say this because this is how it went down. Dante DiVincenzo played that season with Golden State and then spent this entire offseason working out with Steph Curry.
Hmm.
And then goes in and turns in his best shooting season of his career by like a lot. And I think probably working with Steph and Steph's trainer for an entire offseason had something to do with that. And all of this is to say, I don't know if he develops on the same track if he's playing with the Kings the last 2 years.
Okay.
Particularly given how things went when he was in Sacramento.
Okay, so you have to remember when Dante got to Sacramento, he had come off a year of rehab, basically.
Yes.
Like he had had a very distinct ankle injury, which is very different than most ankle injuries, mm-hmm. right? So he had, I think he had a high ankle sprain, but I actually think he detached the bone from like, and the ligament or the tendon, and like there had to be a reattachment. So he had not been like playing all that much with the Bucks, and he also wasn't that effective. Like when he got to Sacramento, the player that they got was not the player that they almost traded Bogdan Bogdanovic for like a year and a half earlier.
Mm, no doubt.
You got to remember, they had a deal worked out to trade Bogey for Dante DiVincenzo.
That was wild.
Yeah, that whole deal was absolutely
that was
wild.
A mess.
That was a hot mess, yeah. Like, look, that was mishandled on like multiple angles, and it was just a weird situation. Dante mm-hmm. DiVincenzo should have been re-signed in Sacramento on a 4-year mid-level exception,
mm-hmm.
like a 4-year 48. That's what his mm-hmm. market value should have been. Now he goes to the Warriors for $4 million because
crazy.
He was just trying to build his value with mm-hmm. a really good team and thought, hey, why not with the champs?
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also caution like the working out with Steph thing and his trainer. Okay, mm-hmm. you know who else did that this year? Davion Mitchell.
Mm. And he looked really good in the second half. I'm just saying.
He did. No. I
but
get
again,
that.
Not everybody develops the same way or has the same skill sets.
Yeah,
here's all I'm yeah. saying. I don't know that Dante DiVincenzo, had he stayed with the Kings, is the exact same player now. I don't think you could pick him up on the Knicks and drop him onto the Kings right now, and you're getting the exact same player. I think he would have been helpful for sure.
Yeah,
like 100%, and he would still be a really, really good player. It's not to. I just don't think that he would have been exactly the same guy.
No, I agree with you.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But I think he would have been close to the same player. But the problem that I have, it was a mismanagement of assets.
Yes, definitely.
I didn't. And not only that, but instead of just retaining him mm-hmm. for a 4-year 48 and putting him alongside De'Aaron Fox, which they wouldn't even do at the end of the season. They had 25 games to give that a run. And then Fox got injured and missed some games and stuff. But they could have put those two together and said, hey, what does this look like?
Yeah.
And I have this feeling, though, that it would have looked better than what De'Aaron Fox and Kevin Herter look like. And that's the problem. It's not only did not retain Dante DiVincenzo, for who was your own free agent, who you had bird rights to, who you could sign for whatever, but on top of that, you went out that offseason and you traded a future first round pick for Kevin Herter, who was on a 4-year $65 million. So not only did you take back way more money, but you gave up a first round pick. So
that's a fair point.
Like in hindsight being 2020, I think that the Kings could be a transaction that you look at very, very negatively for the Kings.
That's fair.
But who knows?
Because even knows if what even out. If just to your point, even if he doesn't develop into the exact same player, like percentage wise and efficiency wise, he's still a fine shooter. Still a dog on defense.
Still a great rebounder.
Still hustles. Yeah, they could have used a player like Dante for sure.
No, they could have. And would he have been a nice guy to start alongside Fox and then have and then still have Malik Monk? That summer you signed Malik Monk, you still could have done that.
Yeah.
Bring Malik Monk off the bench behind Dante DiVincenzo, have those three guys play together sometimes with Dante being able to play up and play small forwards at some point. Yeah, I think it's one of those moments that is kind of glossed over that was probably a mistake on everybody's, on both sides. Both sides made mistakes.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You and Lizzie are right. I'm wrong. That's fair. I'm man enough to admit that. Good work, guys. Luka Doncic, we only have a few minutes here. We'll continue this conversation, though. Howard Beck wrote a really interesting thing in The Ringer this morning. And it's about Luka Doncic specifically, but I think you can branch this out to several different players in multiple sports. But the gist of the article, and again, you can read this on The Ringer. I'm not going to read you the whole piece, but the gist of the piece is, how is Luka Doncic so freaking good? And he talks to anonymous coaches and GMs and then Stan Van Gundy. And everybody agrees that Luka, from a skill set perspective, is generational. By the time he's said and done, he's going to go down as one of the best just pure players to ever play the game. But that hasn't translated to success. The Mavs have won like 56% of their games since Luka got to their team. They are not nearly his on-off splits are among the lowest.
He's a +1 for his career.
Yes.
On-off split.
Which is, of all of the players...
That's wild.
With all of the players with a top 5 MVP finish in the last 20 years, his is the second lowest
career.
In front of, I think, only Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Is the only player he's better than in his career, where the on-off split is his the team's net rating difference when he's on court versus off court. Basically, the Mavs are the same team, whether he's on the court or off the court, which is insane given that he averages like 28, 8, and 8 for his career.
Mm-hmm.
And so Howard Beck in The Ringer is trying to explore why this is and how much better they've gotten over just kind of the course of the second half of this year. And they explore all these different... It's a fascinating piece. But I think it's kind of interesting because you and I dove into the other day. I said Luka was one of the three best players in the league. And you were like, eh. I got... Eh. And at first it's like, man, that's kind of a wild ass take. Like, what? But then you dive into the fact that, yeah, the Mavs missed playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And they were a 5 seed this year. And it really took Kyrie getting there for them to really kind of get over this hump. And I think it's a really interesting way that we talk about like greatness and how good a player is versus winning and their impact on winning. Because so far in Luka's career, he has not had much of an impact on winning, despite the fact that he's putting up these ridiculous stat lines. He's put up a stat line in every year of his career that LeBron has only put up 4 times in his career. And yet, it doesn't translate to winning.
Yeah, I think, like, so when they made the trade last year for Kyrie, it's just... like crazy moment, right? But people often remember that the initial thing that happens there is that Luka is out for a couple of games and Kyrie gets to play with the team and without him. And I had talked to folks around the Dallas Mavericks and the instant take. So I had this idea when that was going to, I think so many people did, that when that trade went down that, oh man, Kyrie could totally blow that entire thing up and just make a mess of it because yeah. that's who Kyrie is.
Well, that, what he was in Brooklyn.
Well, from the outside looking in, it's always who Kyrie is. But from the, in NBA circles, like NBA players and his teammates, everyone loves Kyrie. Like the whole Flat Earth stuff and him making some, you know, putting out movies that he should not be promoting and all of these things that Kyrie does off the court that make people on the outside scratch their head. People on the inside, you know, they love playing with him. And the instant thought was that he could blow up that entire franchise because he's a negative influence. And then all of a sudden, he had a negative, when he got there, they fell apart. And it wasn't because he was causing problems. It was because everyone all of a sudden wanted to play with him and not with Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone figured out like, oh, no, we have been in basketball purgatory for the last couple of years. We've been held hostage by this guy, mm-hmm. and we like playing with that guy instead. Now, here, fast forward a year, and I think what happened was like the influence of Kyrie on Luka has been tremendous and showing him a pathway where he can be that guy,
mm-hmm.
but not be that guy. He can be a guy who empowers his teammates and makes and people that want to play with him without, and, but still remaining a guy who can lead the league in scoring and average, you know, 33, 10 and 10 or whatever, you know, 33, 9 and 9 for a season.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a pathway to get better. And I think Kyrie has helped him along that way, which is really intriguing to me.
Yeah. We're just going to blow through the break. We'll just go to 27 here because I want to continue talking about this. That's the thing that jumps out with Luka to me. And why I know that there's advanced stats now and you know, there's it's so much easier to watch games and consume games mm-hmm. where there are times, you know, you can't be bad at basketball and put up like these great stat lines, right? You're not putting up whatever he put up, 39 and 10 this year, whatever he was. It was ridiculous. And be bad. And that's not the point. It's not that Luka isn't an all-time great. But it's that those stat lines aren't all created equal. And you had Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double. You have to remember around that same time, you had James Harden. I don't think Harden ever averaged a triple-double, but he was always right there.
No, he did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was right there for a couple of seasons before he did.
And so we're accurate here. 33.9 points led the NBA. 9.8 assists, which is top three. 9.2 rebounds per game this season for Luka. That is wild. But anyway, go ahead.
But not all those stat lines are built the same. And there's a difference between, oh, four defenders collapsed onto me, so I'm going to now kick it out to my teammate, versus, hey, I'm setting up my teammates.
Yeah.
I'm playing a brand of basketball that allows my teammates to be involved. That's not what Luka does. Kyrie does it. I know that we know Kyrie for his slick handling and the way he finishes around the rim is just he's one of the best to ever lace him up, but he also involves his teammates, and Kyrie doesn't, or I'm sorry, and Luka doesn't do that all the time, and like you said, I think you can see the Kyrie influence because I think you see it more from him, but that's the thing that's so hard to distinguish without watching like game in and game out. But that's the best explanation to me. It's what Steve Kerr, it's the reason that Steve Kerr brought this offense to Golden State, where it's like everybody's moving, everybody touches the ball all the time. Because that's how you stay engaged. Because Steve Kerr was a reserve his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
He played with Michael freaking Jordan. He knows the value of like, hey, get other people involved.
Yeah.
And they are alert and ready to go. They're ready to hit game-winning shots in the finals. And with Luka, like, I imagine you stand around and you get bored. Your job as a basketball player is, hey, go play, bust your ass on defense. And now, go stand in the corner, and maybe the ball will come to you. There's no system that says, hey, when X happens, you're going to get the ball. It's, hey, if Luka determines that he can't physically get a shot on the rim, and he's going to kick it out to you, that sucks. That'd be a terrible, terrible way to exist.
I totally agree. Like, there is no joy, or there the last couple of seasons, there was no joy in playing with Luka. Mm-mm. For his teammates. And again, like, Jalen Brunson bolted, like, for good reason.
Yeah.
Like, because Jalen Brunson, number one, is a really good player. Mm-hmm. But the second that Luka goes down, he's incredible. The second Luka comes back, it's like, okay, I'm back to being one of 12, yep. one of, you know, six guys that get to play, or seven guys.
Just nondescript
get to play.
Guys in Mavs jerseys.
Yeah. And for me, it's really difficult to build a team around a player like Luka.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the same thing with James Harden. And James Harden did not ever average triple-double, you're right. Mm-hmm. The best he had was 8.5 rebounds a game.
Yeah, he got very close.
Yeah. Yeah. But playing with guys like that, it's hard because, you know, there's something to, like, them not looking for you. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever played in a basketball league with, like, a really good player and, like, you get out on a break and you're waiting under the basket all by yourself, and they dribble, they take on two guys and throw mm-hmm. up an ill-advised three, even though you know they saw you twice
mm-hmm.
and could have hit you. There's nothing worse. You just don't, you're like, time out, I don't want to play anymore.
Dude,
like, if just take me out of the game, it's fine.
If during the Kings season you went, hey, I got this, and you rambled about the Kings for 14 minutes, and right before break you went, hey, so what'd you think of Keon Ellis?
Yeah.
Like, Like, it's the same. It's the same. You're not keeping people engaged. You're not keeping people involved.
Yeah.
And if you go from, hey, you're not shooting it, you're not touching the basketball, and now, oh, hey, shoot this one. Like, okay, guy.
Yeah. Okay. It's well, just, what do you expect me to do? I'm going to shoot 34% because you don't give me consistent shots.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't care how you get me the ball. It's just yeah. the fact that you got it to me and there's no time on the shot clock.
Yeah.
Now, look, here's the other thing I would caution. Like, I think that there's a line in there in Howard Beck's piece.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. It seems like he performs more than he competes.
Dude.
And that to me is such a wild, but it's so accurate of how you felt, right?
It hit the specific nail in the middle of the head.
Yeah.
That is exactly the thing that I find off-putting about Luka's game, because he's brilliant. He is incredible. This is not a conversation about Luka being bad at basketball. Nobody thinks he's bad. But the thing that has always been a little like, oh God, there's something about him. It's that. It's a performance, which is fine. Like, this is all entertainment. But that's what I find off-putting about it. Like, that's such a perfect way to put it.
He's performing for, like, the front row. He's performing for the officials the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not performing for his teammates in the same way. Like, you never feel that connection. And this is the other thing that I would, like, very, very, like, I want to caution people. Like, we are not, like, throwing him under the bus. But LeBron James, it took him 9 years to win his first title. Michael mm-hmm. Jordan, it took him 8 seasons to win his mm-hmm. first title. Like, we're talking about a dude who's, like, the 2018, he's, what, 6 seasons in, 7 seasons in, mm-hmm. right? Like, he still has time to be the great player to get and learn and be this player that is generational. And I think even in the piece that from Howard, I think he threw in generational too often.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he called Kyrie Irving a generational talent, and like there's a generational talent means that you're one of one in mm-hmm. a generation, you are the best player.
Mm-hmm.
I think Luka still has the opportunity to be the best player in this generation. Kyrie does not. Like, mm-hmm. he has not been the best player in this. He's the best ball handler in this generation.
Yeah, maybe the best finisher.
Yeah, like he is an incredible yeah, yeah. athlete. But I think, like, somehow this may work out where, like, a guy who is, you know, in many ways, like, bizarre and totally offbeat in Kyrie and really caused problems in his career for being so offbeat, but how he can help a player find his way to be great. And it's, so I'm not giving up on who Luka can be, because if you do that, you know, Luka is one of the few players in this league that could upset all this stuff that we talk about, whether yes. it's Denver or yes. it's OKC or it's the Celtics mm-hmm. or it's the T-Wolves. He's just so good by himself that he could lead a team past all of that. Just like Michael Jordan was, just like LeBron James had been. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the teams that LeBron James had when he was with the Cavs with Mike Brown.
Oh.
Like, it's like his second best player, one team that they went to the finals was like...
Mo Williams?
Mo Williams. They went out, their big acquisition was like a really old Antoine Jameson. They had Zdrunas Ilgauskas at center.
Anderson Varejao.
Yeah, Booby Gibson and J.R. Smith. Like, he had some scrubs around him. And
hey, hang on. J.R. Smith is not a scrub. Do not throw my guy in that bucket.
Okay. I was there when he decided to not do
That's
anything
fine.
In the final
That's
seconds
fine.
Of the
he
game.
He forgot the score, okay? Doesn't make him a scrub.
Okay, not a scrub, but also not
an all-star.
Not an elite NBA player.
Yes, correct.
You know, on a team right now, where would you put J.R. Smith on OKC? Or where would you put him on Dallas? Or, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at the team that he led to the finals again, and you're just stunned with the lack of talent.
Yes.
And so that's what I think Luka has been for part of this, but I think these players, you have to also understand, sometimes they don't make players better until they're way deeper into their career. And because we got the instant gratification of Luka as an early player, like, holy cow, look how good he is right off the bat.
21-8-6 as a rookie.
And then what's his second year?
29, I'm going to round, 29-9-9.
Yeah, 29-9-9 as a sophomore. What you forgot,
20-year-old.
What you forgot is that he's 20, and that while he's putting up these numbers that might not be conducive to winning right now, that he has to learn the game and how to be, you know, not only that, but forget that he played in Europe and he's coming over to, he has this same like understanding and he has to learn the game a different way. So there's so much room for growth with him. And I think that's a crazy thing. And hey, if he ever decides to take it serious and become like get in great shape and really take the game serious, like, okay.
So that's the scary part about Howard's piece.
Yeah.
Again, this is, we're talking about the piece that Howard Beck wrote on theringer.com. Go check it out. It's a really, really fascinating dive into Luka Doncic's actual impact beyond your traditional box score. But he is like learning that. And since Kyrie has arrived and over the second half of this season specifically, he's started being a more effective defender. He has started involving his teammates more. And he's seen his on-off plus minus skyrocket as a result. And it's like, man, he is starting to learn and he's starting to figure it out. And that's where he could get to the player that you mentioned, where he's in that conversation with as a player who could lead a non-finals team to the finals.
Repeatedly.
He could be in that conversation with Michael Jordan although I guess Michael Jordan had really good teammates, but with LeBron James, where, hey, you know what? Forget roster construction. Forget how deep OKC is. Forget what kind of defense Minnesota can play. Forget what Nikola Jokic is doing. Luka Doncic and the Mavericks are just a nightmare to deal with. He could definitely get to that level. And if he continues on this path that Howard Beck kind of laid out in the second half of his piece, where he does continue figuring this out and Kyrie's more democratic style of game starts bleeding over into how Luka plays, that's where the Mavs could get really dangerous and they get out of that. Yeah, what's their ceiling right now? Because if Luka's just going to be the player he is, then yeah, maybe they'll be a 2 or 3 seed every now and then. Maybe they'll make a conference finals run every now and then, but
They can make it to the second round. They could even somehow get to the conference finals, but they're just not going to be good enough to get there.
Yeah.
You know, barring like him going for 50 or 60 every, and even that might not help them win.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. We saw his plus minus, you know, off court plus minus jump all the way to like a 9.4 this season.
Yeah.
He's still at a 1 for his career after putting up that for this season. And it's like, holy cow. And that's where, again, the advanced statistics, the analytics people who side with Jokic as one of the greatest players of all time, they're not wrong. Jokic is like a career 13.6. He's the highest.
Right.
It's like him and then Garnett, right?
It's like that's how much better the Nuggets are with Jokic than without him.
Yes.
14 points.
Absolutely incredible. Incredible. And that's for his career. For his career. Like, we're talking like 7 years, 8 years, where like his whole career, they're that much better when he's on the court. And then you start looking at all the other advanced statistics, you know, whether it's PER or whether, you know, it's wins over replacement or win shares, any of that stuff. He's so much better than every player in the league that it's jarring.
Yeah.
And again, the other guy that's way up there with him, Domantas Sabonis.
It is the quality of the stats, not the totality of them. Or something. I don't know.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.